MZTV.
Humility is a great thing. It really is. It's relaxing. I mean, you don't. It seems like it has a negative side. Like you would lose that, what they call the pride of life, where if things are going well for you, you strut around like a peacock, and you're flooded with good feelings about yourself. Humility, it doesn't mean you think bad of yourself. It just means you put your opinion of yourself in context. And the context is the humility of Christ. I should say the example of the humility of Christ. Christ Jesus, the Son of God, came down to earth, never lorded it over people. He was humble, but at the same time, he walked straight. He has his head up. He looks people in the eye. Being humble doesn't mean groveling. Being humble certainly doesn't mean thinking poorly of yourself. It's just not lording it over other people, or even lording it over yourself, and that you have a higher opinion of yourself than you ought to have. This is Martin Sander. Welcome to another week of Broadcast Excellence here on MZTV. So I'm going to look at a passage that has some difficult little sayings in it that people trip over and they get the wrong idea. I think one of the greatest glories of Jesus Christ is that he came to earth consciously. Some people teach that he did not exist before he came to earth. That is the most absurd thing I have ever heard. I can't believe some intelligent people I know believe it. Like the first time Jesus Christ appeared, existed at all, was when he came out of his mommy's womb. Came out of Mary. Here comes Jesus. Never existed before. And yet, how can he be the firstborn of all creation? How could he say, Father, glorify me with a glory I had with you before the world was? What glory that you had before the world was if you didn't exist? Oof. I mean, I think it's his second greatest humiliation. It might be his first. The humiliation of obviously going to the cross. And even while he's on the cross, he knows who he is. Even though he's undergoing the greatest trial in his life, he knows who he is. I just say this to let you know that humility does not mean groveling. It does not mean thinking worse of yourself. He knows he is the Son of God. But he trusts that his Father is going to elevate him. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the key. You trust that God is going to glorify you. God is going to elevate you. In the meantime, you bide your time. You just go through this life. You don't think less of yourself than you should. You don't think more of yourself than you should. And humility, again, is biding your time. This is my new definition. Just came up with it as I'm broadcasting. Biding your time until your glorification. You know who you are. You know you're destined for it. But you don't feel the need to lord it over other people, because very soon, these other people who you're tempted to lord it over will be under you, like big time, big time. Because you're going to the top. You're going to the head of the class. You know this. You know. These he designates beforehand. These he calls. Whom he calls. These he glorifies also. It's kind of cozy. It's kind of warm. Kind of nice thinking of your future. And even though you might be in the most humble position on earth, don't grovel. God has big plans for you. Just wait for him to do it. Oh, you'll eventually lord it over other people, but not in a negative way. You will be Lord, that is, Master. The disciples call Jesus Christ Master. And yet, here's the humblest being that ever came to earth, ever existed. And yet, he's Master. God has designated you and me for the heights of glory. And yet, we're to have the same disposition that Jesus Christ had while he was on earth. And here it is. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. For let this disposition be in you, which was in Christ Jesus also, who, being inherently in the form of God, I'm going to read the passage, don't panic, and then I'm going to explain it. For let this disposition be in you, which is in Christ Jesus also, who, being inherently in the form of God, deems it not pillaging to be equal with God. Don't panic about that, because Jesus Christ is the Son of God, not God the Father. Nevertheless, empties himself, taking the form of a slave, coming to be in the likeness of humanity, and being found in fashion as a human, he humbles himself, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So, which is the greatest humility? Which is the greatest emptying? Is it trading in his position at the right hand of God to become a cluster of cells reproducing in the fallopian tube of a Jewish teenager? I mean, that's humiliation, right? Not that there's anything wrong with fallopian tubes or Jewish teenagers, but it's just to go from that to that. That is a mighty fine example of humiliation, ladies and gentlemen. And then, of course, to go to the cross, the ultimate humiliation. And yet, boy, how do you maintain your sense of self when you've been nailed to a post? Oh, God, that's terrible. I guess believing God when he tells you who you are, that's it. He's inherently in the form of God. Form denies essence. Form denies essence. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul talks about those who have a form of devoutness yet deny the power. Those who have a form of devoutness, are they devout? No, it's only a form. It's not substance. Jesus Christ in substance was not the Father. But he's the image of God, the image. And thus he's, in that sense, a form of God. Deems it not pillaging. Strange concordant word there. It means robbery. It deems it not robbery to be equal with God. There it is, Martin. Proves that Jesus Christ is God, equal with God. Slow down, my friends, because if you have an equal sign, you, by definition of an equation, you have one element to the left of the equal sign, one element to the right of the equal sign. Like, I am equal to that person in value to God. I'm equal to them. Oh, that means I'm the same as that person? No. Equality denies identity. Because, again, you have two sides of the equation. It's like Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Jesus has the right to take the titles of God. Another form of his humility. He has a right to take all the titles of God. Whether it's Elohim, whether it's Lord, whether it's Yahweh, whatever it is, he has the right to take the title because he's the image of God. And then who was it asked him? Was it Philip? Show us the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There's still two beings here, me and the Father. But if you see me, you've seen the Father. It doesn't mean I'm identical with the Father. It means that I'm the perfect expression of the Father. I'm the image of God. And you don't need to see God or talk to God because you may as well be talking to him. May as well when you talk to me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It denies identity once again. All these things that people think proves that Jesus and God are the same being, trying to shore up the Trinity, false teaching, or modalism, false teaching. Modalism being that there's one being who can take different modes. You know, God goes into the phone booth, turns into Jesus. And then Jesus prays to, quote, his Father, unquote, hurries up into the phone booth, changes into the Father, hears his own prayer, goes into the phone booth again, comes down as Jesus Christ. That's modalism. It's one being operating in three different modes in the phone booth. Trinitarianism is that there are three beings, but they're all essentially God, and God can't exist without any one of them. It's all a CF. So yeah, I don't want to say the phrase clusterfuck because some people might be offended with the word fuck. So I'll just say CF. Nevertheless, so he's equal to God in that he's given the worship due God. He can take the titles due God. He can say
If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In that sense, he's equal to God. But nevertheless, empties himself, taking the form of a slave. Again, here's that word form again. Form denies essence. He wasn't a slave, but he took the form of a slave. There he is washing the feet of the disciples. Oh, he's a slave. Well, it looks like it, but that's fine. It's a great example of his humility, but it's a form. We're now in the form of squashed down human beings going through these trials in life, crawling through the mire. Don't crawl like this. No, you swim through the mire this way, crawl this way. And yet it's almost like a form. We're in fashion form as human beings also. But is this frame our essence? No. Spirit of God, in a sense, is our essence. I'll have to think about that one. The Spirit of God is our essence. Is that what I want to say? Spirit of God is our essence. Yeah, I'm going to say that. I don't exactly understand it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Come to be in the likeness of humanity. If he did not pre-exist, how could he come to be in the likeness of humanity? Who came to be in the likeness of humanity? Well, nothing, because he didn't exist. He came into the likeness of humanity. Who did? He did. But if he came into the likeness of humanity, he had to pre-exist before the humanity. You can't say that after he's born and is a human being, sometime down the road he came into the likeness of humanity. No. Because, see, I don't want to do anything to deny his humility. And it's the greatest thing to go consciously, to agree, to acquiesce to it. Say, yep, I'm going from the right hand of God to this little zygote, this little embryo. That's a great humility. You take that away from him. If you don't believe he pre-existed, it's just so many arguments against it. The arguments, here's the thing, the arguments people put for the non-pre-existence of Christ are so ridiculous that it's the best evidence against the teaching of the non-preexistence of Christ. If you ask me, that's my humble opinion. It's a powerful opinion, but it's humble nevertheless. Came to be in the likeness of humanity and being found in fashion as a human. See, this is another humility. There's two-part humiliation of Christ. Number one, went from being the Son of God to that cluster of cells reproducing inside the dark secret chambers of a teenager's feminine parts. Then, there's this. And being found in fashion as a human, stage two, he humbles himself, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So that's the second phase. And I'm trying to decide in my mind which is the bigger humiliation. What do you think? I hate it when I see videos. Tell me what you think below. Tell me, give me your comments as if I'm just waiting with bated breath to see what you think. I'm not. Sorry, because I already know. I mean, that'd be nice. I will read your opinions, yeah. I mean, I don't live and die by them. Don't take it badly. Don't take that wrong. So go ahead and let me know. I think the greatest humiliation, you know, I really can't say. I really can't say. My instinct is the greatest humiliation is taking the form of a human being from the glory of God. Because that's a bigger leap, I think. It's a bigger gulf. It's a bigger chasm than being as a human and then being crucified. As terrible as that is, but these terrible things sometimes belong to humanity. But this, going from the right hand of God down here, do you think that is anywhere near going from a human to a degraded thing that happens to humans? And this disposition is supposed to be in us too, that kind of disposition. And I see it now as I'm speaking. The humility is knowing that you're great. It's so fun to be humble when you're so damn great. You know, that's my personal view. It's only fun being humble when you're so damn great.
if you're not great, then humility is like built into you. It's no great thing to be humble. But when you're great and you're humble, whew, that's impressive. Who does it better than Jesus Christ? So let this disposition be in you. Why do we need the disposition? If we're already trampled, if we're already mired, if we're already stuck. But see, we're not mired and stuck. And there's a third thing I said, I can't remember. We're not because it's a form. We are in essence sons and daughters of God. And in that sense, then we humble ourselves. It's like somebody living in a very, very poor neighborhood and they barely have enough. Everything's falling apart and it's like they live in slums kind of like thing. And somebody says, humble yourself. I'm there. But when you know who you are, justified, soon to be glorified, then it's more fun to humble yourself. Play the part of a slave. It's form, not essence. And we're to have this disposition. So enjoy it. Enjoy it while you can, because after we're glorified, humility's over. No other chance to act all humble. I love these people who are multi-millionaires, and they just walk around in normal clothes. They drive a beat-up car. Warren Buffett lives in the same house he raised his kids in. It's a little, like, dinky place in an average neighborhood. I love that. Not that I love Warren Buffett. I don't. But I like the idea of people being rich and then slumming it. Yeah. So you're rich. Now, in the manner of Christ, slum it. And then when you're changed, it will stun the world.